something special is going to happen tonight.
Yes, amen.
Okay? I'm going to share with you about some dreams that I had in the last 2 weeks, and I feel so strongly. Normally, I wouldn't preach. I got back last night from the UK, so I wouldn't be preaching the next day, but God put this on my heart to preach this, and I was like, I'll do it in the airport. Like, that's not me. Like, I'm like, I'm chill. Dave can preach, no problem, but I felt so strongly that this is what we're going to get tonight. We're going to get a baptism of extraordinary boldness. I'm so excited. So if somehow you feel like leaving, please don't leave. Okay? Like, it's weird. I feel it's so spiritual what just happened, how many people left. Like, Erin was outside. She looked upset. Then she had to leave her mom. I don't know where Johnny went. Oh, this is all being recorded, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Erin had to go pick up her daughter.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sure it was all good, but it was weird. When I looked around, I'm like, one by one, people are leaving. And, yeah. So, anyway. I know that whatever we get tonight, it's going to just increase the weeks to come. But
next week's a lot to do.
So anyway, yeah, it's exciting. So this is what God wants to do. He wants to give us. You know, you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but with the baptism that the disciples received, it was all about boldness. And I want to focus in on the life of Peter tonight. But first, I want to tell you of two dreams that I had and why I feel like this is such a key word for right now. For, you know, like the sons of Issachar, that we know the seasons that we're in right now. So I had a dream. I'm not going to say the whole dream because it's parts. But I had a dream where we had a friend a long time ago named Joel. And Joel was in the dream. And his wife wasn't his wife. It was this other friend of ours named Donella. Okay, so, but I'm at Joel's birthday party. So it's a birthday party for Joel and Donella, dawning, right? Dawning of a new day. Donella is his wife. So I knew this meant that this is the dawning of a new day of the birth of the Joel 2 generation. The Joel 2 generation is, which is also Acts 2. Is this the most amazing one right here? Here we go. This is what Joel is. He's quoting, Peter's quoting Joel. And in the last days that shall be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the birthing of Joel. That is it. Joel 2, Acts 2, because then Peter is quoting what happened when Pentecost hit. Then he starts saying, you know, they are not drunk as you suppose, but, you know, this was uttered through the prophet Joel. We're going to stay on that a minute. And as you see, it's Joel 2, Acts 2. And our blog, podcast, all that's called Joel 2. We've had it for how long now? 22 years? Yeah, Joel 2 generation. Okay, so the other dream I had was... this is both like a couple days apart in when I was in the UK. So I was so excited about the birth of the Joel 2 generation, Acts 2 generation, and the dawning of a new day. And so the other dream I had was I was walking with this man that is in his 80s, and he's my mom and dad's friend, and he plays golf, and he goes to the gym, okay? Every day I see him walking the same path, and I'll see him once in a while, And it was so weird because this is actually real. This is in real life. So it's so weird. I was walking back from the gym one day and I was talking to him a little bit, my mom and I. And then I'm like, I have to run real quick because I have to get back. Cause I have to get ready and go somewhere. And then this is just so weird. This one, I know it's the Holy Spirit. Then he tells my mom like something really nice about me. Like she's so nice or she's really amazing. And I'm like, I literally have only said, how's spin class? Okay. That's all I've said. I'm not saying anything special. I'm not saying anything spiritual, but somehow in the limited interaction that we had, he said something really nice about me. Okay, so anyway, that's in real life. then when I had this dream, I was like, okay, there's the Holy Spirit connection here. So I don't think this man is a Christian as long as I've known him. Just different things I've known about him and his life and different things. I figured he wasn't a Christian. He doesn't go to church or anything. In my dream, I'm walking with him and he's super excited. And he's like, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I was like, yes. And he's like, have you been baptized with fire from the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes. And he said, have you had encounters with the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes. He said, have you had encounters recently with the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes. And he said, do you have more to learn from the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes, do you? You know, because he seems like he's the expert, right? And I'm like, and he said, yes. So, you know, again, I'm like, okay, Lord, so obviously there's things about the Holy Spirit that I don't know. But he's like, he's wanting to know. There's not just one baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are many. And as you see in the Gospels, you know, they're filled, and then in Acts, they're filled, and then they're filled, and then they're filled, right? And I'll give you some examples. But it's not just one, okay? It's not just one time being filled. It's not just one time encountering the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing encounter. You get these baptisms where it's like a deluge, like a real, like, defining moment in your life. But it's never you've arrived, and there's not more to learn. There's going to always be, but I feel like, you know, there was a time when I was going after encounters all the time. So this is very funny because I'm there like about the word and the truth. And, you know, I love encounters. I love encounters with the Holy Spirit, but I've kind of been less on that and more on just day to day and happy. And it's great. But I feel like the Lord was just like highlighting how important it is to have encounters with the Holy Spirit, to ask God for encounters. Like I want an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I want to live on fire. I want a fresh baptism of boldness. I want a fresh baptism of fire, of love, of all this. So just as I'm talking, just as you position your heart, it's like, do you want more? Do you want to learn more from the Holy Spirit? So that's what I'm asking right now. I wake up every morning. Whatever you want to teach me, Lord. I need to learn a lot more because that man asked me, do you have more to learn? And I'm like, yes, of course I do. But it was so cool. It was an invitation for me and for us to say, Lord, I want more. I want to learn more. What do I need to learn? I want to learn more. Do you guys want to learn more about the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay. So usually because Dave and I, you know, we leave this church, when God gives me prophetic dreams, they're not just for me, they're for all of us, mm-hmm. which is awesome. Right? It's not just, I got this dream, good luck with your lives, you know? It's like, it's an invitation. So would you can take this right now as if you had the dream. It's yours. Because God's not a respecter of persons. And he's, look at, how many alls are here, right? All flesh, your sons and your daughters, your men. I mean, it's not just some, one, two, three, the best, the brightest, the strongest. No, it's all.
And also shall has the word all in it.
Come on.
That's even more all.
Come on. Yes. Amen. Yeah, it is. Come on. Yes. Yes. So I want to, this really, really stood out to me. So as I've been asking the Lord, yes, Lord, what do I need to learn about the infilling of the Holy Spirit? What do I need to learn? So I'm going to look at Peter's life. I'm just going to do one person. There's a lot to go through. But one person, we're going to look at Peter. Okay. How many of you have not seen The Chosen? Have not seen it? Okay. Okay. You guys are seeing Peter right now, right? In The Chosen. Mm-hmm. He's a mess. Okay. He's a full on mess, right? He was a mess in The Chosen, but I believe they portrayed him really accurately through the gospel. I mean, through The Chosen, what really happened in the gospels. So we're going to compare Peter before Pentecost and Peter after Pentecost. Unrecognizable man, Peter. And it wasn't a year, guys. He was unrecognizable when he denied Jesus. So it was from the time he denied Jesus, and then it was like 50 days later, he's a little bit more than that, he's a completely different person. completely different person. Not just a little boldness. You're going to see, I'm going to read some things and you're going to see how he was before, but extraordinary boldness. And I want that. I do not have it. I do not have what Peter got in Acts. I do not have it. I do not have it. I do not have what he has. I mean, I'll tell you, when we get examples, I'll show you. No way. I do not have it, but I want it. I want that kind of boldness. I want to live like Peter lived. I want it after Pentecost. So this is so fascinating to me because of how, what I love about The Chosen is how Jenkins, how he portrays Peter and the disciples as very human. Very, very human, you know? And I've looked at that before and just been so amazed at how human they were. But then when you see it in front of you on The Chosen, you're like, oh my goodness, you know how they're fighting and how Peter kind of like, you know, wants to be the leader and trying to be the leader, yet he's mean to Matthew. And, you know, you can just see like it's just how human Peter was, right? So we're going to look at some. Okay, so there's a lot of scripture. I might have to go over here. There's a lot of scripture, but I'm not going to necessarily read everything. Just kind of give you the, you know, kind of the gist of what it has, what Peter went through in each one. Okay, so here's Peter, right? Peter is always, which kind of like, I have this. I kind of want to make big statements, and then sometimes I don't do it, or I realize, oh, I made a huge statement, and I can't even do that. So here's Peter. Lord, if it is you, command me to walk on the water. You know, here he wants to show off again, right? And Peter gets out of the boat, and then he starts walking. Oh, get afraid, boom, and he starts to sink. Lord, save me! You know, so this is him, right? This is him. I got to say the big statement. I'm going to make a big, whoa, because, you know, who's the best, right? They're always like, Jesus, who's the greatest? Who's the best, right? They're all doing this, like, you know, and then, it, you know, whatever. Just always shucking and jiving, and who's the best, and who's the greatest, and who did the most miracles, and all this. They didn't say that, but probably they did. But anyway, and then you see, so there's that one. And then from, let's see, oh, so here's Peter, right? So Jesus has just said that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, right? So he's saying, this is Jesus, this is God, and he's saying, and I will be killed and on the third day raised. And Peter took him aside. Jesus, let me just tell you something. I'm going to say no, right? I'm going to say this isn't going to happen. Far be it from you, Lord, that this shall ever happen. And then he turned to Peter, worst day of his life probably. Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. Yikes. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Now, when we get to after Pentecost, you're going to see a man who no longer had his mind set on the things of man, but on the things of God only. So I thought that statement really stood out to me. So you go from, just remember, when we get to Pentecost, you're going to be shocked after what, and I know you guys know these things, but just to kind of see it in this, like how far he was. And you know, they spent 3 years with Jesus, and yet, yeah, they grew, but it kind of, I mean, Peter ended well. I mean, ended badly. I have to say, you know, with denying Jesus 3 times. I mean, they were there 3 years, day in and day out, day in and out. But what changed him the most drastically in a very short amount of time? We're talking a little over 50 days. Completely different person. Okay, I'm excited to show you. So here he is being called Satan. Okay, not a good thing and a hindrance to him, right? A hindrance to Jesus. That's awful. Okay. So, then Jesus said, this is what he's saying to all of them, right? You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter answers, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Can you imagine? He's just like, step aside, you weaklings, you know. Though they fall away, they all fall away. I will never fall away. And Jesus said, truly, I tell you this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And then Peter again, come on, Pete. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Oh, and all the disciples said the same. Oh, guys, come on. Oh, so rough. Okay, next slide. I was just like, oh, at least we know what's coming, and that's the good news. Okay, then here. Jesus said with them, that's just so cool, everything that happened. So I'm just focusing on Peter, but the other guys really improved too. Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, okay, you can imagine, right? He's in pain, super, super, super sad. Sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and praying, saying, my father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Okay? Probably wasn't gone long, but anyway. And he said to Peter, so you could not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I thought that was a really, so what happens is after Pentecost, the spirit is willing and the flesh is strong, what he's willing to go through. So this is it, right? His spirit is stronger than his flesh because he lets his flesh go through a lot and he doesn't complain. He's not fearful. After Pentecost, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then again, you know, he says, and for a second time he went away and prayed, and my father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And again, they fell asleep. So just this, what a baptism of boldness and what a baptism of the Holy Spirit does, it transforms people completely. Completely. Yeah. Here we go. Now Peter was sitting, you remember, right? He's not going to deny him. You know, don't worry, Lord, I'll never leave you. You know, this whole thing. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard and a servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. All she said was, okay, a servant girl, guys. It's not a soldier. It's not a Pharisee. It's not a big guy. It's a little servant girl, right? Has no authority. No one would even listen to her, right? And he says, but he denied it before them saying, I do not know what you mean. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl called, another one. And she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. Remember these guys when we get to the after Pentecost. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and disciple, okay, anyway, that's a different thing. But, okay, so standing by the cross were the Marys and John. Where's everybody else? They're not there. Only one disciple was there. 10 had left. And Judas was dead. I mean, can you imagine? It's the women and John. That's it. They're not there. The disciples are not there. They'd walk with, pardon? Yeah. They walk with Jesus for 3 years. And they're not there. They're not there at the cross. On the evening of the third day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked were the because I know the end of the story, it just makes me laugh, like what Jesus can do. The doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And Jesus comes through the door, right? He comes through and stood among them. Here they are like, you know, like the Jews are going to come. We're so scared. We're probably going to die. I mean, that was quite really traumatic to watch Jesus and all that he went through, right? Like, I can imagine that was very traumatic. So then they're all hiding, right? It's like they forgot everything he said, told them that he was going to die, told them to go do the works of Jesus, his works. But I love how they're so scared and they're locked in a room, and Jesus just walks through the wall. Peace be with you. I mean, he's so amazing, Jesus. Oh, thank God he didn't give up on them, huh? Okay, now, here we go for Acts. So, he rises again, Jesus, and then he tells the disciples. He's in the room. But you will receive power. Okay, right out. Yeah, after he rose from the dead, then he met them, right? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay, you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. So I'm glad they were waiting. They weren't too scared to keep waiting. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right. So you go from, you know, Peter denying Jesus, and then, you know, and then of course Jesus restored him, but still, I mean, still they were scared, right? So then Pentecost hits and they're given that power. Okay. So the Holy Spirit falls. Here we are right here. So whatever it is, what, 53 days now, like after, right? Here we go. Peter, the new Peter. You guys want you to notice this, how drastic this is, so different, a drastic change, like unrecognizable. So that it is, that it's not been long. It's not been years. It's not even been, you know, two months, less than 2 months. And this happens. Peter standing with the 11 who had left, right? 10 that had left Jesus at his worst moment. Here they are. Lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, right? So he's calling him the Messiah, which we saw in The Chosen as well. What happens when he says Jesus is the Messiah, right? That rabbi gets really, we're going to throw you off the cliff. Like, you didn't see that scene? That was like, whoa, freaky. So he's just out there. So before, scared, I don't know you, hide in my house. You know, whatever it is. And now he's standing up in front of everybody and he's saying, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Right? Can you see this boldness? It's like, what just happened? This? I mean, it's not long. Are you guys getting that magnitude? I was just like, oh my goodness, it wasn't very long. From the time that he was at his worst moment to the time where he's at his best moment. 50 or so days. That's it. One encounter with the Holy Spirit. And he's got boldness that he never thought was possible. Does anyone want more boldness in their life? I do. I want this. And it's, how do we get it? The Holy Spirit. We don't have to conjure it up and I'm going to do it. I'm going to get bold. I promise. I'm not going to have fear. Blah, 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 blah. No. Holy Spirit, baptize me in boldness. I want this boldness. And Peter said to them, this is what he's saying, guys, to the people. Before, a little scared Peter, right? I don't know him. I've never seen him. I don't know him, whatever. Here we are. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. He's telling the Jews this. They think they're ballers. They think they're awesome. They think they have the law. They're the chosen people, right? For forgiveness of sins, and you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just remember, Peter, scared Peter, proud Peter, big statement Peter, not bold Peter, right? Looking out for me. Oh, I didn't put that one where he cut off Malchus's servant's ear, okay? So he's like, oh, I'm going to take care of this. He cut off the soldier's ear. I mean, that's Peter before, right? Now he's telling the Jews to repent. He's telling them they need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's telling them that Jesus is going to forgive their sins. They didn't feel like they had sin. What are you talking about? Jesus can forgive my sins. Who's Jesus anyway? And only God can forgive sins. And now he's announcing this. I mean, do you think that took a lot of boldness for him to do that?
Yeah.
Okay, next one. And then, you know, he goes on, he says, but you did, so just imagine. So all the Jews and some people are really excited, like the, meanwhile, multitudes are coming to him. So, you know, coming to Jesus at that time, multitudes. So you're seeing the multitudes come, but then all of a sudden you're seeing, you can imagine the Pharisees and the Sadducees are like so mad. You can just see them seething, right? Right? Can you just picture it from The Chosen? Can you guys picture it? Right? That one where they're like, they get the, like that. Because they hate it. Like, what do you mean we need our sins forgiven? Like, we're the Jews, right? Okay, so we lived in the Muslim world, so we know what this looks like. Mm-hmm. We know what it looks like when you're preaching Jesus and Jesus is God and you see what happens in their eyes. Dave would get up, so there's this park called Hyde Park, of course, in London, and there's a thing called Speaker's Corner. So you have people that are debating religion. So Dave loved to get on this literal box and preach Jesus. And the Muslims would come around him and they'd be like, you're going to hell, la, 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 la. You know, just this, like, and he loved it, right? And they're just like, oh, and they're like, you will kill you, you know, because you can't say this. Like, you can't say God, Jesus is God, and you can't say Muhammad is not the prophet of God, which what he was saying. And
like
one second.
One message, why I'm not a Muslim. They didn't like
it. So, you know what, I know what it's like when you're preaching, or even, you know, the little groups that I was in, if I had said something about Jesus, then you see someone in there that's, it's just this, how dare you say this? So just picturing this, and yet he's still speaking. He's still going, and he's saying really, really offensive stuff to them. But because he's been baptized with this Holy Spirit of boldness, he could give a rip of what they're going to do to him. Before, he was so scared he's going to lose his life. He was so scared. He could not, he doesn't care now. He doesn't care that he's going to lose, he could lose his life, which he will in 60 AD, right? And he's crucified upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus. He didn't find, I'm not worthy to be crucified as Jesus. So we asked to be crucified upside down. That's in the early church fathers.
He was killed under Nero.
So just imagine, so he's like, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, Barabbas, and you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, who we just, they just said silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give in the name of, you know, I give you in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man the perfect health in the presence of you all. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Whoa, come on. And then what happened? Time to go to prison. Okay. Not long, guys, right? You get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You preach maybe two messages, Pentecost, and then this one. Prison, here you come. And they arrested them, Peter and John, and put them in custody until the next day. Is this incredible or what? I'm so excited because if God can do that with Peter, he can do it with us. What does that mean for our lives, right? Here we go again. Then Peter, I'm telling you, I don't know, I feel this so much. I'm so excited. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, again, here we go. He's going to tick them all off. Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that you rejected, the builders which has become the cornerstone. This is what he's saying after he got in prison. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Mm-hmm. when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So you see this, right? But how many things were ticking off the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the rulers? I mean, he was ticking them off. He was saying, Jesus Christ is God. He was saying, you rejected him. You crucified him. We're, you know, just everything that could provoke them. He was not afraid to provoke them. He was not afraid to speak the truth and tick everyone off and going to go to prison and you might lose your life. Didn't care. That's how much boldness he had. Zero fear. Zero fear. Give me some of that. Give me some of the Holy Spirit boldness that has zero fear. Like, he has stuff to fear. Like, prison's not a good place, you know? In that time, it's not good now, it's not good then. But this was cool. This part. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So it's full redemption, right? Because before, wait, weren't you with Jesus? I remember you. No, I wasn't with Jesus. I don't know him, you know? Wait, no, you were with Jesus? Yeah, you're from Galilee. No, I wasn't. You know, he says it three times. And then, I love this. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Why? Boldness, no fear, right? A power to heal the crippled, power to heal the lame, right? Come on, next one. Is this exciting or what?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you believe how much Peter changed? This is insane.
In less than 2 months.
Yes. Okay. So they called them and charged them not to speak. So cool. They called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter answered them. You know, they're in prison. They call him out, right? So they're in prison and then they're calling him out. Okay, now, we're going to let you go, but you can't speak about Jesus anymore. I don't know about you. I might have wanted to take off a day, a week, get some inner healing, you know, get some prayer. You know, I don't know. I'm just thinking about me. I've been in prison, even for a night. I think I just need a little space. I need a little break. No. So he's like, I'm just going to tick them off more, right? No, I'm thinking for me, if I'm in that, I'm going to go a little self-preservation time. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go back out maybe after, but, you know, I'm going to wait a few days, maybe longer. So I don't know about you guys, but that seems scary. So, he's saying, exactly. So look, like, but Peter answered them. So instead of just saying, okay, yeah, we'll do that. And they're just like, no, just in your face. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Mm-hmm. Basically, hey, no. We are preaching Jesus, right? And we're not stopping. And they're like looking at, there's the prison door and here's the guys. And I mean, they could have just chilled out with the response. No, they didn't. We're not going to listen to you. We're going to listen to God. And now, and then, okay, so then they go back home and they tell the people. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me again. So instead of praying, Lord, protect us when we go out, just let our words, you know, let them hear our words, but protect us as we're out and let us fly below the radar. You know, pray these prayers, right? No, what does he say? Not that he's not already bold. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servant to continue to speak with your word with all boldness. With all boldness. No. Or Lord, maybe we're going to do some different strategy so we don't have to go to prison again. And so I don't know, like, maybe, you know, you can just imagine your prayer at that point. It's not going to be Lord, yes, Lord, give us more boldness because we got to keep going. I know some people that went to prison for their faith. They didn't come out. They didn't come out very well. We knew one that wanted to commit suicide. Another one that, I mean, these are Westerners. Commit suicide almost in prison because it's such a dark time. And another guy, I mean, they fly below the radar for a while, you know? I mean, Muslims that we know that were in prison or were beaten or were, just horrible stuff happened to them. Someone was set on fire. I mean, you know, their houses burned down. You know, you kind of go into hiding. That's what I've seen. So that's why I'm like, I don't have this. Mm-hmm. I've seen people. It's very, 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 very difficult. But what are they saying? Give me more boldness. Okay, I realize it's a different time, but really, what do we have to lose? At this point, no one's putting us in prison for speaking about Jesus. You could lose your job. You're not going to go to prison right now. Maybe in years to come, I don't know. You'd be put in prison in Kuwait, the Middle East. You'd be put in prison if you did this. We would have been deported, and other people from other countries that were not Americans would have been put in prison. And we know some. We know some Indian pastors that were put in prison, Pakistani pastors, for having church in their house. And they didn't stop. But you know what other pastors didn't do? Once we found out this guy was under house arrest in Qatar, no pastor would go to him and befriend him. Dave went, though. That's probably why we got kicked out. But anyway, it's all good, right? You went. You said, no, the time you're under house arrest means you can't leave your house, right? So this Pakistani pastor had been discipling Muslims, had a church in his house, and they came to his house and they said, you can't leave. And no other leader, no other person would go to his house because they were afraid if they are seen there, they're also going to be in house arrest. Dave went, encouraged him. I know. It makes me want to cry actually right now. So intense, guys. And I know it's like, so what area do we need boldness? You know, it's like, I don't know what it is for me. I don't know what it is for you guys. But the Lord wants us to walk fearlessly, you know? If Peter was risking everything. Now again, that's what I'm saying. It's not a mind over matter or something like that. It's a truly an encounter with the living God that will change us forever, you know? And I know we have a measure of it. But I just believe there's so much more. And there is, because obviously the Holy Spirit said that in the dream. There's so much more. There's so much more in God. And I know we say this a lot. This life is not about us. This life is not about us. This life that we live is for Jesus. We are here to make disciples of all nations. We are here on this planet to make disciples, to love Him and make disciples. That's why we're here. We're not here to have a great job and a great house and success and money. And no, that's not why we're here. Sure, that could happen. But why are we here on this planet? We are here to bring the kingdom of God everywhere we go.
Transition.
Yes. That's why we're here. And some need boldness and just living for Jesus each day. What does it look like? Like I was doing this, Lord, I just consecrate this life, my day to you today. I want this day to be yours. And sometimes it ends up great. Sometimes it ends up, I didn't, you know, maybe do that much. I don't know. But I just feel this awesome, like, Lord, I consecrate this day to you. This is your day. Just taking one day at a time. My day is your day. What do you want to happen today? You know, what do you want? What boldness? What do I need boldness for? What area do I need it? What area do I have where I shrink back? You know, and I know you guys think I'm bold. I have a boldness, but I don't have this. I do not have extraordinary boldness. I don't. I know myself. We all know ourselves, right? We know ourselves. I want extraordinary boldness that only the Holy Spirit can give. A boldness that doesn't make sense. A boldness that transforms somebody that you can't. Peter was unrecognizable. You guys just saw those things before. I mean, Peter abandoned Jesus Christ. It was his rabbi, his teacher, for 3 years, day in and day out, listening to Jesus, and he abandoned him. He denied him. He abandoned him at the cross. He didn't even go there. He wasn't there. He goes from that to this because of the encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I'm just talking about Peter, and I know the other guys too. They were doing the same stuff.
Well, Natalie, I got a question.
Yeah.
So that 50 days that he left them,
oh no, he was on the planet for 40.
No, I'm talking he about came back. Peter denied him. And
oh.
He changed.
Yeah.
How many days was it?
Probably 52.
So okay, 50 days, whatever.
Yeah.
Is there any account of what happened to him during that period of time that would change him so much?
It was just Pentecost. He wasn't, they were waiting and they were, I mean, Jesus was with them for 40 and then they were in the house for 10 days. And on the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection, that's when the Holy Spirit hit. So I don't think it was, okay, yeah, he was restored by Jesus. That probably helped. Like, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. But they were still afraid. They were still hiding, right? And then Pentecost happened. That was it. One moment.
Because I think about in our lives, how do we deny him in our words and actions?
Yeah.
And what do we need to do that Peter did to get that boldness to go forward?
I believe it's encountering the Holy Spirit, being hungry for that.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's so interesting because as Peter said, it was so instantaneous. Peter says, I will never deny you,
right,
Lord. And then that very night,
yes,
he denied him three times.
Like, yes.
It's like that suddenly. And
yeah, you're right.
Me,
oh, that's good.
Me, it's that suddenly,
yep,
that as soon as he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was bold in his faith.
That's right.
So it was like instant, it was like the flesh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
These guys were, they knew Jesus.
Yeah.
But they weren't, and they were disciples of Jesus, but they weren't filled with the power of the
right.
Holy Spirit.
Yep.
So the flesh is strong.
Yep. Absolutely.
So the flesh was stronger than the Spirit of God
yeah.
in them because they weren't filled with the Spirit of
right.
God.
Right.
They were just had knowledge and truth
yep.
of who Jesus is. So they, that's where you fall away.
Yeah.
The people that say, well, I go to church.
Yep.
I do this. I do that. Yeah, I acknowledge. I know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, which means as soon as anything comes their way that
yep.
would scare them, they'll deny Jesus. I don't
there
know.
There you go.
I don't
yep.
know. I don't know Jesus.
Yep.
Or, you know, or we'll turn and allow
yeah.
their flesh to take over. But instantly, they're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we can see, that
yeah.
is a powerful
yep.
encounter.
Because yep.
Jesus is leaving.
Yes.
And now it's like, I'm leaving for you guys to really be filled with the Holy Spirit now. And that's when humans, for the first time ever,
yep.
became the temple of the living God.
Yeah.
We all have the ability to be infilled with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
But as soon as that moment happened,
I know.
Then
changed.
The boldness was there.
Yep, totally. Marlon, I forgot to ask answer your question. You had your hand up a while ago. I'm so sorry. Do you remember your question? Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Okay. Next time your hand goes up, I'll... You remember it yet? Okay. Next time. All right. So, you know, they say, speak your word. They want to have more boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal... And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place, so this is again, this is another shaking, right? So they had Pentecost and they're praying for more boldness, guys. What happens? Another mini Pentecost. The place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. Again, so that's what I'm saying. It's not just a one-time, yes, and it's not just a slight filling. It's like bold. They needed extra boldness, extra. Okay. So, but through this all, look at the fruit. More than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on the cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them.
Wow.
Come on. So this is what happens when you're bold, right? You're bold, they're seeing signs and wonders and miracles. They're bold, they're preaching, and just they're doing what they're supposed to do, and multitudes are coming. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So the demons are coming out and getting free. But the high priest rose up. Uh-oh, here we go. And all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees. And they were, I thought this is a filled, instead of filled with spirit, filled with jealousy.
Oh, wow.
That's a nice big demon there. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord, I love this, opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, again, he didn't say, go home, have a break, take a bath, let's have a warm meal.
Go to the Galilee retreat.
Yeah, have some me time. Listen, you guys deserve it. That was tough. That was a tough night, okay? Right? No, I'm shocked. Like, he doesn't, you know, no. I'm so shocked, right? Go. They get rescued from prison, and then it's like, now go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered. I just love the obedience, right? The boldness and obedience. And they entered the temple at daybreak. Just boom, done. As soon as people were there, and began to teach. Now, when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison. Wait. All the senate of the people, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Okay, so they're gonna go. So they see them. They're out there. And like, wait, weren't these guys in prison? Okay, next one. And they had brought them, and they sent them before the council. So they're in the prison, and they go out, so then they have to go get them again. And the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name. And yet, here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Because they, you know, he keeps saying, the blood is on you. You killed the Son of God. You killed the Messiah. But Peter said, here we go again. We must obey God rather than men. So, no. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Again, very inflammatory statements, right? He's not trying to like, let's just calm the Sadducees down now. You know, can you imagine they're just like, I'm sure they were demonically manifesting, right? But he's like, I got boldness twice now from the Holy Spirit, and he's going for it. It's amazing. So God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. Amazing. Kick them off again. To give repentance and to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Again, they didn't think Israel needed to repent and they didn't need forgiveness of sins. They did their lamb each year and they were all good. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them. Now they got beaten. That was probably bad. And charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they're thinking, we're going to say, don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus. So we're going to beat them. Maybe the next time they won't. Because now they know if they beat them, we're going to put them in prison. I mean, yeah, beat them. They're not going to talk about Jesus anymore. And then we're going to put them back in prison if they do it. Nope. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoice. Oh, this is so cool. So the disciples leave, because I put different, yeah. The disciples then leave. This is so awesome. They left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. So it's their second time in prison. They were beaten. And right away, they left. Not even when they got home, they had a break again. They had a bath. They had me time. The disciples prayed for them because they needed inner healing. They went away to a retreat. No. Right away, as they're leaving the presence of the demonic filth, that was some demonic mess that was going on, right? They'd already been beating them. They leave and they're so excited. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And then, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus, that the Messiah is Jesus. It's like in your face, you know, it's like, you will not speak. And every day they were in the temple preaching and going from house to house. They did not stop. That's boldness. That's an extraordinary boldness.